Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Richard Lewis Show. I'm your host, Richard Lewis. Joining me at the moment, it's Sam. He's back. He's been working again, straight on that grind thing.
Gotta have some days, wait, mate. Can't be a week. I'll fucking lose my mind doing a podcast 7 days a week, mate. We have nothing left to talk about.
That's where you're wrong. I've got plenty, mate.
I've got a link. You heard about a 600-pound woman who happened to have killed an animal by laying on it. So check, yeah. Mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, check. I wish we had that article. Everyone's going to be expecting that one now. I made that up.
So, I mean, fuck, man. I'm not going to lie. This will be a shit podcast, though. Because I've been buzzing around like a blue-assed fly all day today. Like, no joke. I've been fucking so busy. There is no plan to this. This is Look at Links together with Richard and Sam. That's what it is. So if it sucks, I apologize. Hey, we managed to go past 650 subs again. I did that. I did that while you were away. I went hunting yesterday. I played like this hunting game on my stream, and I did hunting and fishing, and it was a wholesome all-American Sunday. And everybody fucking liked it, dude. Everybody was like, you know what? I can watch Richard run around killing imaginary deer with guns because I haven't leveled up enough to kill them with a bow yet.
As if you but have to like, get guns first. That don't make sense. Surely you have to work your way up to guns.
Nah, you work your way down. That's how it works.
Well, obviously it's harder, but like, surely you should have to pass the quest to make it easier for yourself. You get a reward then, don't you? Of being able to kill the bears easily.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and there is bears in this game. Now, I should have probably started on the Arctic map because there's all rumors that there's like a fucking Yeti or something on there. Would you be like, that's big, you know? Maybe you can't get spears in the game, so, you know, fuck it. And we're 167 subs away on YouTube from the big 100,000.
Almost there.
It's mental,
you release the big movie night tonight, trying to push it over the edge, release the big old video.
If I wanted to push it over the edge, I'd release no content for a week. That's how it works, mate. You don't put a video out, that's when you get the most subs, because YouTube is routinely unsubbing people from select channels and pretending they don't do it, even though I've demonstrated that they're doing it. I got motherfuckers who've been following me for years saying I've been unsubbed from your channel 6 times. How's that happened? Now what they're doing to us, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, they don't even send our videos out to the people who do sub. They don't get notifications. So all of our stuff gets below 20,000. Yeah, mate, click my fucking bell, YouTube, you daft cunts. What are you doing? All I want to do is just... Yeah, all I want is my fucking content. Yeah, all I want is my fucking content to hit the people who want to see my content. That's it. We ain't even that wild political.
Nah, you know, you see mental shit.
Yeah, I don't get it. I ain't like Lauren Southern riding around in boats trying to drown people. Like, what the? Why am I getting
our Patreon hasn't been taken down? We're reasonable.
So I don't know, dude. The whole thing seems so fucked up, but whatever. So does that. What have you been up to, man? Like, because legit, the podcast now is pretty much like where we meet
to talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Went back to GFIN, doing another season of the Elite Series. Anyone like FIFA, Street Fighter, Rocket League, tune in. They'll give them a nice little plug. They pay me well.
Yeah, they do. They look after you.
I do the replays of me. That's my job. So I do all like the analysis runs and shit. So, all right. Went bad because we changed CS this year for FIFA, which I thought would be a garbo, but I enjoyed it. It went bad. It's fun.
I've been gym ratting it.
Living
in the gym. Yeah, every day this week. Proud of myself. Going at 2 a.m. sometimes. Not just because I'm scared of all the rip.
I was going to say, right, because there's no one there.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. Man, there's some fucking rip dudes in this apartment complex. Like, I just see, like, every time I step out, right, like, I look like Tony Soprano. Like, I'm in my robe. I got my white fucking vest on. I'm, like, picking up the paper, cup of coffee, and some fucking absolute superhero will just walk past me, like, fucking Captain America. Like, oh, come on, dog.
Yeah, you this get to look fair. At him, mate. You get to aspire to be him one day.
I thought Americans were all meant to be fat, not here, not where I live.
The wrong gym, mate. You need to go to one like the Walmart gyms or something. I'm sure they exist.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Get one of them fucking mobility scooters. If you see mobility scooters parked up outside a gym, I'm in the right place, you know. But yeah, it's fucked up. But anyway, man, let's do the show. Let's talk about some crazy shit that's happening in the world. Man, I got some great stories. So here's something, right? Because I keep it raw on the podcast. I talk about things that are going on in my life, and I talk about things that maybe you shouldn't talk about, and they're embarrassing and stuff. So I'm going to talk a little bit about something that's kind of embarrassing, and I'm going to use the embarrassing thing to segue into this news story. So I've been lifting a lot of weights lately, right? And I'm out of shape. So I am grunting and groaning and straining. The noises that are coming out of me, it's like a woman in labor, mate. It's so bad. Like that's another reason why. That's another reason why I don't want people in the gym. Cause by rep number 5,
there's gonna be some complaints. Like,
yeah, I'm having a fucking exorcism. This is ridiculous, right? Like, I'm really struggling.
Like, you got kuru or something? You've been eating cow brains.
So, one of the things that happens to people who lift like, you know, big weights a lot, right? And all that straining is hemorrhoids.
Oh, he's had a burst.
I've had a pop, mate. I've got a grape gun.
For some reason, mate, you are obsessed with the fact that I must have hemorrhoids, but I don't. Every time you're like, you must have. Yeah, but I don't. Maybe I shit clean. I don't know. Or I shit smooth.
No, it hasn't popped. Like, but it's popped out.
Oh, it's protruding, like it's prolapsed.
It's a hanger, mate. Like, I got the old fucking stalactite. The rectal stalactite. So it's like a little, it's like the, but it's not small, mate. It's not like a pea.
How large are we talking?
About the size of a small Brussels sprout.
Show me on your thumb.
What, mate, like, it is my thumb. Like that. Oof. Yeah.
What's even the recourse for a prolapsed fucking hemorrhoid? Do you pop it? Do you stab it?
No,
do
no. What you have to do is you have to sit in a salt water bath and like
and cry.
About it. Oh, I've got the doctor.
You go to the doctor. Doctor, I got a hemorrhoid. I'm about to better have a bath, boy, because that's bad.
Right. So that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. It's bath.
You can't go to the hospital and they put you in a bath.
It is what they are, for those who don't know. It's a vein in your bum, right? And in your hoop. And it fucking, what happens is you strain and it sort of collapses, but yeah. there's blood in
blood
it.
Blood vessel, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a collapsed blood vessel in your ring piece.
Straining too hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and basically, they either burst or shrink.
Yours burst?
Well, no, it hasn't.
Oh, no, well,
elongated. When it bursts, it bleeds, and then it's all over. So I'm in...
That's what it means. Why don't you just give it a stab? Why don't you just have a couple of pints and give yourself a stab?
No, come on, brother, what are you talking about?
Well, it's a game over, and you said once it pops, it's popped, so why don't you just pop it?
Yeah, so I'm going to go down the bath route and hope that it fucking shrinks is what I'm going to do. I'm not popping my own arse. But I tell you right, it makes me fucking laugh.
That'd be a rough few months of shit. Yo,
it makes me fucking laugh, man. All these years of boxing and MMA and being a doorman, and I never got cauliflower ears, and now I got cauliflower hoop. Honestly, swollen, mate. Yeah, my asshole looks like tasty ass here. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going
on? Your shits must look like Picasso painting sliding out of that thing.
It feels like it. So this is how I'm getting... This is how I'm going to fucking segue. This is how I'm going to fucking segue into the story.
This week, hemorrhoids.
No, it's not about hemorrhoids. But I ain't shitting. I'm avoiding shits at the minute. But I go when it's like...
When it's desperate.
Yeah, when it's time. When you know what I'm talking about. Like,
when the turtle's already out the shell.
Yeah. Hello.
Now then.
Yeah. Basically, when it's now, then.
Touching cloth is down the core, like.
Yeah. So, right, so I haven't been doing it, right? Like, so I've had about, like, I don't know, last week, 2 poops or something, right? Which, like, I'm
two
a day
out. For the week, that is right.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm a one poop a day guy. Like, I, that's how I like it. I go in there, I have a read.
Yeah, nice, relaxing shit. Nice, like, 15-minute shit.
Mate, full-on shitting in elegance.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Yeah, I got that little stool you put your feet up on.
Oh yeah, squatty party.
Like it's a homemade one, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, elevator legs,
get my knees up. I got an iPad in there.
Need to get a bidet though, bud. Upgrade your life.
Well, I'm sat in a bath every 15 minutes now.
Just turn the shower on in a minute, man.
Then I just have a little reading. I love it. But now I've had that luxury taken away from me, mate. So let's get into the story. You're like, how the fuck do you segue into a story for this? I've got a hero right now.
This is a life. Man. I've only seen the headline in this fight. Yeah.
No, mate, this is unreal. This guy's my hero right now because I'm trying to avoid pooping. And trust me, you'd understand why if you've ever had a hemorrhoid, a big one. But yeah, basically, there's a guy who was in fucking police custody, right? And he'd been caught with drugs. Right, like, right. Or supposedly, he'd swallowed them. So when you swallow your little baggies of drugs, obviously, I mean, like, first of all, it's real fucking dangerous if you do that. Or with a drug, if it bursts inside of you, you're dead. And here's the other problem: if you do that before you're put into custody, well, it's got to come out. You know, what goes in must come out. So that you gotta shit those baggies out. Well, I'm gonna tell you about a hero. A guy who, like, has the level of training like a Buddhist monk.
Before you say what it is, you should have chat. Just have a reasonable guess, chat. How long do you think you could hold the shit in for? A foreign object pushing its way out, how long do you think you could hold the shit in for? How many days are we talking?
Yeah,
maybe 10. Maybe 10 would be burst point. 9 days, 3 days, 2 weeks.
Right.
4 days, 5 days, 9 days, 2 weeks. So about 2 weeks is everyone's about max. 2 weeks.
Well, this guy, Lamar Chambers, he knew he was up against it, and he knew, like, if I do a shit, they're gonna get these baggies, and it's gonna be self-incriminating. They're gonna have the evidence, and they're gonna fuck me up. So I'm just not gonna shit. I'm gonna beat the system. And this guy held in a shit for 47 days. 47 days, Sam. Ow.
What a boss, mate. Release without charge as well. Straight cheese the system. What's that? You need the drugs to arrest me, do you? Guess what? I'm not shitting for straight months.
47 days. Like, here's the thing. Obviously, I don't advocate for the committing of any crimes or any of that.
No, but the dedication to the craft.
Dedication to the craft of drug dealing. Holy moly, this guy has got some fucking... Like, he's in a hospital. They were even feeding him laxatives. That's the madness of it, right? Like, I've watched fucking, like, Jackass and shit. You can't hold...
How much would you pay for a fucking video camera of him? Imagine every time he eats dinner, how much he must just be sitting there clenching. But
I swear,
he can't eat for 47 days, obviously.
Yeah, they were force feeding him and feeding him laxatives, right? And this motherfucker must have been lying on his side in the hospital bed, like just imagine it, like his fucking asshole winking like a fucking
knowing that if you shit, you'll go in prison.
Oh, please, like. And he's held it in, and they've had to release him. He's like, obviously, he's ran around the fucking corner and dropped his fucking guts.
Oh, mate. Imagine the shit. But the thing is, you probably can't shit after holding him for that long. You probably can't go and drop the shit. You probably have to have it, like, manually freed, I'd imagine. Be all compacted, wouldn't it?
Mate, I am telling you, they want to fucking do some sort of fucking analysis on this dude. Like,
he's got special powers.
No, this is legit. How do you hold the shit in for 47 days while being bombarded with laxatives? How do you do it? How do you do it? I've had laxatives, mate. They work.
Monk-level concentration, mate.
You could have fed me a fucking vindaloo and it's game over for me. I don't need stuff that's actually designed to make you shit. It is unbelievable, like. It's unbelievable. How he's done that. And it's like, you know, I just think, well, maybe I could be like Lamar Chambers. I just hold it in, wait for
be
Mr.
one
Lucky
with the shit.
Go, like,
you do not have to release the shit.
Yeah, become one with your bowels, man. Like, what a fucking G. Like, it's so mental. So there you go. All of that talk about my asshole was just a segue to that story. Let's do another little
story.
We could do. Let's do some of the little fun stories. I picked out a few. So here's another thing. This sort of segues into bodily functions, right? I don't know if you've got anyone like this in your family, but like my stepdad was a fiend for this, right? Do you have anyone in your family who just thinks that like sell-by dates are just sort of some conspiracy theory?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, kind of. I think it was an uncle as well, yeah.
Who's yours? Go on, tell me about him.
I don't know. It's not like some mad conspiracy guy. Not really. It's more the opposite, actually, in my family. They're all I know.
Yeah, I don't mean literally, but they just disregard.
Oh, yeah, mate. I think all the Welsh are just like, ah, they just put anything in. Oh, what's that gone off? Leave our chicken out for 4 days, eat that.
My stepdad, right, like, just never fucking listened ever to a sell-by date. He was, like, honestly, the first thing he would do when we went to a supermarket when we used to shop when I was a little kid is he would just leave my ma and he would walk off to the fucking, you know, the bit where it's going off. And this motherfucker would be in the back and he'd be trying to find the shit that was out of date in the out of date section and trying to get it for free. And it'd be like shit that's like dangerous, like meat and fucking dairy. And he just straight didn't give no fucks. He'd be like, oh, see this eclair, that stuffed right at the back. Right, you know, actually touching the fucking radiator so it's warm and it's already out of date. I'm like, you ain't going to eat that. He goes, no, wrong with it. It was almost like he had to prove it to everyone else.
Yeah, you got a bang in the immune system, wasn't
he? Yeah, but
all the antibodies you get from that.
But, mate, he hasn't had a solid shit in 20 years. I know. I used to have to share a toilet with that fucking gross motherfucker.
Sprayed on the walls.
Yeah. He was the opposite. He couldn't hold the shit in for 47 seconds, this cunt, let alone 47 days. He's straight eating everything that's fucking out of date. Like, just, don't eat that. Don't eat that, mate. It's fucking, mate, that pork chop's green, mate.
Fuck, wrong with it?
Wrong with it, mate.
Nah, like,
just sat there, pale as fuck.
Instant jaundice as his liver shuts down.
Are you all right? Of course I am. There was nothing wrong with it. Like, what are you doing? That's so fucking mad.
This ain't Dr. Seuss, mate. You can't be eating green meat.
Like, what the fuck is he straight doing? Like, what the fuck is he straight doing? And he did it with everything, mate. I swear to God. I remember one time, like, he was driving me to school. He straight threw up all over the steering wheel and then tried to pretend it didn't happen. I'm in school in this little city yellow Peugeot to what that fine. This is legit.
Next level gaslighting, you mate. What spew? I don't see any spew.
This is legit. This really happened. Right? And he's just driving in the Peugeot 205, driving me to school. We're just talking some shit, like, because, you know, we didn't get on, but we're stuck in a car and it's a 15-minute drive. So what are you going to do? And he just literally went, bah! And like just, it just slapped all over the steering wheel. You all right? And he went, yeah, why? Like, straight trying to pretend
why?
He is talking about.
Why? Why?
Hey, mental, isn't he? He's fucking brilliant. What's he done that for? So anyway, like, it's no wonder I'm a fucking mess.
Why would you feel the need?
No, you've just been sick.
That's so mental, bitch.
Yeah. And he was just straight eating shit that just made him ill all the time. Stop doing that. Stop doing that.
Oh, man. Just find him up the back eating pebbles, they fucking sound. Nothing wrong with him.
It's like catchphrase. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, you should say, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Doesn't matter. Flies buzzing all over it. Nothing wrong with it. Like, there's definitely something wrong with it. That is literally how it works. That is how science works. So anyway, I thought, like, that was just some mad childhood trauma nonsense. Like, he was just mental, but apparently it's like it's all dads. It's not him, right? And I saw this story in, like, the CBS local branch over at Los Angeles. This guy, I should fucking contact this dude and give him my stepdad's address so they can all, like, hang out and be pen pals. This motherfucker, right? He's in Walmart, right? And he's having a dig around in the cereal boxes. And they bought a box of cereal from right at the back. It was Quaker 100% natural.
What they say,
oats, honey and raisin granola. And when they got home, they noticed the sell-by date was 1997. It was 20.
What?
Yeah, I know. It was.
How's that even happen?
I don't even know how you have something on a shelf for 21.
Yeah, who's not cleaned that shelf for 20 years?
Right. So, 21 years old. So, the family say to him, like, don't eat that. Because
nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Because it's 21 years. 21 days is an outrage. It's 21 years out of date, man.
Go wrong with it.
And he's fucking...
I like my cereal stale anyway.
He's poured it. Think about it, though. Think about how hanging cereal is when you just leave the box open for a little bit. Think about how hanging it is.
It goes stale instantly.
Yeah. So he's poured himself a bowl of this 21-year-old cereal... No, wrong with it. Milked that up and just ate it. And his family are just like, no, don't, like, this could be really bad.
You're being so unreasonable. Yeah, we're going to get more cereal.
Why would you, why would you die?
Why would you die?
Yeah, how did your dad die? Oh, yet some 21-year-old cereal. Like, it's a shit story. It's a shit way to check out, like.
What was his last words? No, wrong with it. No,
put that on his fucking tombstone. But he did, he straight ate it down. And so he went out, like, they were just watching him, like, he was just going to explode or something, just like, fucking, what happens next? And now happened to him, like, he wasn't ill, he wasn't sick. So they interviewed him, and his daughter even said, like, you're being silly, I wasn't born yet.
She's 11, it's almost twice her age.
So he said... It just tastes funny and says, I am okay. I feel fine. Like, what is wrong with motherfucker?
Tastes,
like,
funny, don't it?
What mad fucking game is this guy playing? Like, I don't get it. What is this fucking... Is this what they mean by toxic masculinity, Sam? Where it's like, I'm so manly, I will try and beat microbes and bacteria. I'll show him. No, I don't eat that.
Yeah, mate, he's doing his bit for human evolution. He's building up our immune systems and he's breathing. He's got kids, mate. It's good. I like that. I like that kind of attitude. He's building up the human systems.
Yeah, but what's next? Like a ball of fucking Ebola? Like, no. How far does this nonsense have to go before you stop? Like, it's the next logical progression is to eat just diseases. Licking petri dishes in science.
No wrong with them.
No wrong with it. Fucking hell, mate. Beyond a fucking joke, innit? Anyway, so there was that. Meanwhile, baldest, like, straight up, right? Like, I'm a guy who knows all about scams. I've been writing about scams for years now, mainly electronic scams. But I know about scams. I came up hard. I grew up in a fucking poor neighborhood. I got kicked out when I was 16. I lived with drug dealers. I know the things they pull. I know, you know, and drug addicts, more importantly. I know the shit that they pull and you know, to make their way in the world. I've seen it firsthand. It ain't cool. But motherfuckers always running game, because when you got no money, you got to have game. Like, it's an either or. If you don't have either, you just die. That's like how it works. But sometimes you got to know when your game ain't fresh, and you got to know when your fucking game is all fucked up. And this is nonsense, man. This is the worst attempt at a scam I think I've ever seen. It's down in Albuquerque, right? A woman went into a pharmacist, right? Real talk. And she tried to get a script for a drug. Now, so far, so normal. You know, a lot of people, they fake prescriptions. Yeah, I used to know motherfuckers that used to steal prescription pads from doctors' offices and shit and then write fake scripts, because in Britain we got a meme about how doctors' signatures are all just squiggles and look the same. And you'd be good for two or three scripts before anyone realized you were bouncing, you know, fake scripts and that shit. But here's the problem. You've got to know the law and you've got to know the drugs. And this woman in Albuquerque tried to trick a pharmacist into giving her a prescription for medical meth.
That that ain't quite legal yet. That hasn't gone through all the systems and protocols.
Have you ever, has there ever even been a fucking news like story? We are considering legal. Like, no one has ever said, like, oh yeah, well, let's get meth.
Legalize meth.
Let's get meth in. Like, no one's ever said that. Marijuana is just getting there. Like, meth, legal meth, it's a ways off. So this woman went down to the local pharmacist and literally was trying to bounce a script to get meth tablets by showing a doctor a prescription bottle she made with a fake label, saying she was entitled to the fake meth. Like, come on, love. Like, please. Like, nah. That's just so fucking...
Score,
I mean, I almost...
drugs that exist.
I almost admire the audacity of that. To make a fake label, but probably that just had meth written on it, put it on a bottle, take it down to a doctor and go, oh, can I get a refill of this? And it's just like meth.
No, it's not a restaurant. You'll get free refills. Like, oh, can I have a top of my meth? No, but, you're a meth. Now get out my office.
Yeah, you're a fucking smelly meth. Fuck off. So yeah, I just thought, like, what a mad attempt that is. Like, all right, so let's do one more just what's going on story, and then we'll segue into a bit of seriousness. We'll come back up on the other side. Like, I'm gonna treat this a bit like an ayahuasca trip, right? This is how I'm.
So we're gonna start doing the throat chanting. Ooh, bring in the spirits.
Right now, what's happening here, right? Is like an ayahuasca trip, this episode of the podcast. We started out light, fun, excitement, nervous energy. Ooh.
Now we're going deep.
Now, right, after this story, we're going to go deep. And then after, we're going to come up on the other side and we're going to have a fresh perspective on life. This is the ayahuasca episode where we don't talk about ayahuasca except for this. But anyway, let's just take one look at this crazy motherfucker, right? Tattoo addiction. You ever heard of it?
I mean... not really, but I can understand what it is. It's not hard to figure out. I like tattoos, so I'm going to get loads all over my body.
Right, is so, yeah. Right. Now listen, right? Like, I think if you're all addicted to something, you should definitely address that. And I think society sort of does have an obligation. If you see somebody who's clearly addicted to stuff, maybe you don't have to be complicit in that addiction. Like, I'm all for choice, right? Like, but you don't have to be the one. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah, but like it same in plastic surgery. If you're not going to be the one, someone is.
Yeah, but like then it don't have to be you. Like, for example, right? Like, you know, I've worked in bars, right? And you know what I'm talking about when the drunk comes in, the real sad drunk. You know, the families are dead. And they just sit at the bar and they're miserable and you're like, fuck it, man. No wonder you're drowning your sorrows. But then, like, the longer you work there, you actually start to see, like, you know, they're losing their teeth and they're aging and the smell of urine gets a little bit stronger every day. And it's sad. And it's like, you know, this is how they're taking the pain away. But you ain't got to be the motherfucker helping them destroy themselves. I've done it. I've straight said to people, like, listen, dog, I can't be the one. Like, sorry, I'm going to have to bar you for your own health. Here's a fucking, you know, slide the number across. Here's a fucking place. Here's a dry out clinic. Here's a counselor. Here's the Samaritans. Please, like, get well. But I can't serve you anymore because I can't do this. Right? And more people should take that stance. For real. Like, that's a serious point, by the way, even though we're about to get fucking funny. You know, you don't have to. When somebody is doing something that's like going to have negative effects and maybe they're going to regret it and it's going to destroy them or make them ill or ruin their lives, then hey, it don't have to be you. Like, you don't have to have that on your conscience, right? So anyway, tattoo addiction. I think, I like tattoos. I like the fact that attitudes towards tattoos are changing.
Yeah.
But I think if you come in and you've got 100% body coverage of tattoos, I'm probably not going to be the guy that gets you from 95 to 100. I'm going to be listening.
I don't know. If you go 95 to 100, you might as well at that point. If he's already full, I wouldn't want to take you from 30 to 60. That's worse.
Yeah, all right. Fair fucks. But I ain't taking your money, is what I'm saying. I ain't doing it. That's me. Like, listen, you're an adult, whatever, right? But, like, I'm starting to question your decision-making process at this point. So this motherfucker. Just
what if it's
just,
like a mad celebrity? Sorry.
No, I straight don't give a fuck.
Oh, what? Even if it's like a mad rock star, like, I don't give a fuck. I got straight mills, just tattoo me, make me look like a lizard IRL, and while you air, slip my tongue in half and all.
Yeah, I'd be like, listen, dog, I'm super happy that you found that shit. It's not happening in my tattoo shop. Sorry, dude. Can't do it. Can't do it. I just think it's so, like, potentially harmful to the person. Like, you don't know if what they're going through.
Might regret
what
it,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want them to come in and say, why didn't you stop me? That's a valid question. That's one of the most tragic questions anyone can ask anyone else. Like, why didn't you stop me? You're right. I probably should have done. So I'm just saying I wouldn't. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to disagree with that and say, but how can you be all about choice? And because what you do is your choice. And I've got the choice to not enable your choices. Somebody else will. It don't have to be me. It's totally logically consistent. But anyway, tattoo addiction. Enough's enough. You know, for me with this guy. I'll show you. The headline tells itself. Tattoo addict inks entire body, including eyeballs and the inside of his mouth.
Come on, bro.
I'm just going to wait for the chat reaction to this picture. I'm just going to chill here, have a cup of coffee.
Wait, still loading, mate. New York Post, South Australia. There we go. We're
in. Mate. Yeah, I'm just gonna check.
Fuck, you know.
Yeah.
It's not even like now, designs.
Mate, he looks like the fucking Invisible Man.
He looks like he's wearing a morph suit.
Yeah, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with that. Why didn't y'all stop me, man? Like, for real. Now here's the thing. He's only 27.
Oh, fuck.
He calls himself Eli Inc. I'm hoping not his real name, or it would be one hell of a coincidence. But he only uses this super thick, deep black coloring.
Yeah.
To permanently blacken his skin. He's dyed his eyeballs. He's done his bottom lip, all inside of his mouth. And then, listen to this, though. He says, in my opinion, the only person who will only ever understand my transition properly is me. I don't attempt to describe it to anyone. All right, well, that immediately sounds fucked up and unhealthy. All again, not in my shop, right? And then he said, I've always been blown away by art itself. Picasso is a huge childhood inspiration to me, especially abstract art. But I do like all forms of art. Body art was just the next local step for me growing up. I wanted to look like an abstract character in one of Picasso's paintings. I love the abstract look. No thought, just pure expression. So, first of all, I ain't never seen this Picasso painting, dog. Never saw that. Like, never saw that, mate. And second of all, that sounds like the most mental justification for deforming yourself I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Straight talk. So the rest of the news story horrifically tells you about what's involved in tattooing your eyeballs. I won't spare you that. You've already had a dose of the hemorrhoids. So I'll spare you I'll spare you the ink being injected straight into your eyes. But like, do you know what I mean? Does that like sound like we have it right? We have interventions for alcoholics who go, fuck it, it's under control. I can quit anytime I want. And then everyone gets in a room and goes, listen, yo, stop this, man. You're making me sad. Stop. And then we get like a fucking legal thing and we lock them up till they get better and they come out and go, yo, I hated you for months, but actually, thank you for saving my life. So why the fuck are we not doing it for fucking Eli Inc? Please, like. Anyway, is what it is. Right, now we go deep. The ayahuasca's kicking in.
Straight to the murky waters. This way you start seeing the demons. You start battling all the life's problems. Oh, what? All of universe is one. What do they mean? What do the messages mean?
So, we got to bring up, a little bit of Trump. Sorry.
Here we go.
Didn't want to. Don't like it. Where should we start, right? So first up, right? I mean, just lately, there's been some crazy shit going on. I mean, like, there's all this video game stuff. Like, we talked a lot about it in the Florida episode of the podcast. People try to blame violent video games, despite no causal links or any scientific evidence whatsoever that you're going to be more violent as a result of playing violent video games. There's no statistics that show a correlation between the rise in popularity of the video games. In fact, there is an inverse correlation between the rise in popularity of video games and real-life violence. Real-life violence going down, popularity of video games going up. Inversal, definitely not a word. Don't know why I thought it was. It's the ayahuasca.
Could have made me believe it, mate. Should have just left it there.
You say anything with conviction. They'll tattoo my fucking eye. But that's, you know, that's old ground. And it's been interesting watching the gaming press, who have demonized video games, their actual audience and the product that they're meant to be thinking critically about and that they owe their entire existence to. It's interesting now, after they demonized video games, since 2014. Weird how it... Well, actually, a little bit longer. But certainly around 2014, where they invented Gamergate as a reason to hate gamers. And basically point out that if you don't subscribe to identity politics, but you play video games, you are evil, and you clearly support fascists. And
agreed.
Yeah, and the madness, of course, is that when any sort of group, but keep in mind there is no Gamergate is not an organization with a hierarchical structure. You know, the FBI have completely dismissed that. They've also dismissed that there was any credible threats made, even at the height of Gamergate, and they also showed that some people had even faked threats against themselves. So it's all a bit silly, but the press will never report the truth on that. So you'll just have to you do your own research, which of course you can't trust most people to do, but it's just not true. But they invented a boogeyman to demonize video games, and they've spent the past 4 years demonizing video games. And now Trump says, hey, what up, games press? What up, Anita Sarkeesian? What up, Polygon? We hate video games too, us Republicans. We fucking actually would love to do some stories about how video games are evil and encourage negative behavior so people stop fucking up the NRA who pay us a fuck ton of money. Are you down for that? And the games press went, shit, we got to completely rewrite our motherfucking narrative. We're fucked. We spent 4 years basically saying what Donald Trump is now saying. So they've done it, by the way. I mean, they've literally dialed it back. They're coming out, like, they're publishing articles now. Nah, there is no link between violence and video games. Polygon did an article. We love violent video games. Did you see this?
No.
All right, check it out. I'm going to show you this shit.
It's your boy right, heel turn.
Right. Oh, yeah, mate. This is mad, isn't it? All right, and guess who wrote it? The original Goonie Beard Man himself. The man from which soy is derived. Ben Kachera. Check it out. I love violent video games. I'm like, and he says, and it's okay if you do too. I'm like, wait a fucking minute, yo. Am I,
is this ayahuasca drug kicking in for real?
Yeah, like, am I really on a fucking deep trip now? So I was like, I'm pretty sure I remember Polygon writing a bunch of shit about, about how violent video games. And I'm sure I remember Ben Kachera writing shit about violent video games, saying how they're bad and it's something to think about and how they're encouraging negative behavior and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So,
based on Grand Theft Auto as well, where a lot of the examples came from, one of the most violent video games that we know of. Yeah. Well, the media say is GTA is so violent, so violent. You love violent games, man.
So just have a look. Someone put this little screenshot together. So bring this up. And you can see Polygon actually published two articles. They published one saying, I can't believe we're still blaming video games in 2018. I agree. And the one I just showed you, which is, I love violent video games, me. So I was like... that's a bit weird. Unfortunately, somebody did this collating for me. And you can see here, these are instances, not all the instances by any means, where Polygon has published articles basically blaming video games. I mean, literally blaming video games for whatever they want. And this is all predicated, of course, on the fictitious Boogeyman, which has been investigated by the FBI, as I keep telling people. You can go to a Freedom of Information Act and see that no credible threat was posed by Gamergate, and Gamergate was not an organization in any structural sense. Meanwhile, anti-Gamergaters did form an organization, which was tenuously linked to the Crash Override Network, and they did collectively dox and harass people, and this was proven by leaked logs, which are not being allowed on Wikipedia, because one of the chief editors of Wikipedia was kind of semi-involved with it and was a big supporter of the people doing it. This is literally how it works, guys. I'm not making any of this up. This is actually 100% factual shit. Google it. I don't want to sound like Alex Jones too much, so let's get back to these headlines. Polygon. Are video games harming your kids? Well, how can they? Because they don't do anything, right? You said it. Guns, games, and violence. The real questions you should be asking. Does playing a video game steeped in a cycle of kill, die, kill have an impact on players? Almost certainly.
So.
Right? Arguing that an overwhelmingly violent game doesn't impact its users is akin to arguing that any game with a singular drive or message can't inspire or evoke change. How interesting, Polygon. The American Psychological Association affirms link between violent games and aggression. That is the most skewed headline, by the way, because as we showed you on the Florida podcast, you can go back and watch it, episode 115, we showed you that that report said in the short term with children, there was a slight increase in aggression. And anyone who's hurled a control pad at a wall knows that. But there is no long-term causal links between violent behavior and video games. The study that these motherfuckers are citing has to agree that. So you're like, okay, what's this? Tropes versus women challenges the history of gaming's sinister seductress. Games and stories whose female villains are explicitly sexualized are perpetuating false notions that women are inherently misleading and manipulative, and that female sexuality is something to be shamed, feared, and controlled. How does it do that? It's a video game. Thought we can't blame video games, but video games are fine. Study suggests playing as a black character can reinforce racist attitudes. Hang on, I thought we had to put more black characters in the games. Do you see what I mean about how they create these systems where you literally cannot win. And then they demonize you for whichever side you go on because you aren't an identitarian. That's what they do. So they say put more black people in the video games for representation purposes. People do it. People play these characters. And then they go, oh, well, yep, now that's reinforcing racist attitudes. How do I win? How do I get out of this checkmate, you crazy bastards? You see here, white players act more aggressively after playing a video game with a black avatar or character, says the study, led by a researcher at Ohio State University. By the way, this study, if I remember rightly, got widely debunked and criticized because of the nature of which it was conducted. So, how violent video games can impact on teen morality, Polygon, 2014. Weird. Weird, this timeline, isn't it? Teenagers' abilities to develop empathy, trust, and concern for others are delayed by spending too much time playing violent video games, according to a study conducted in Canada and reported on by BBC News. Again, let me tell you about BBC News, because I was back fighting this battle before Polygon were even part of the enemy. I remember, it must have been about 2010, 2011, you can go find it. I was quoted in The Independent because the BBC did a documentary. One of the reasons I don't talk to the BBC still is this documentary, not just all the child molestation nonsense that was going on that was publicly funded. Mine and your and my mother's fucking license fee that we were legally forced to pay under pain of prison went to pay Jimmy Savile's salary. So yeah, I don't like the BBC for that. You need to abolish the license fee and you need to publicly apologize for the fucking sins on your hands. But I hated the BBC before Jimmy Savile was rocking that glass eye, right? Because they have continually portrayed video games as fucking violent. They did a documentary, Panorama, in 2011, I want to say it was, with a guy who wasn't even really a journalist. He did a documentary where they talked about video games addiction. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, actually, because anything that has a serotonin releasing effect, or it plugs into your dopamine receptors. Anything like that could get you addicted. So I'm very curious to see what scientific studies he'd done. Well, he didn't do any scientific studies. He took one example of two mentally ill people in South Korea neglecting their child until the point it died. They spent all their time in a PC bang and didn't feed the kid, and the kid died.
That story.
Uh-huh. And he said that's games addiction. No, these people were seriously mentally ill and already known to child healthcare services. And they went to iSeries and selectively edited quotes. Not the first time the BBC has done this, of course. You'll remember when they interviewed female competitors in CSGO. Oh, yeah. The female competitors came out and said they've only used part of our quotes and they've completely changed the meaning of what we said. That's the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. Never forget Tony Benn. You might not like him because he was a lefty and a socialist. I thought he was a great man. I had the pleasure of seeing him speak publicly in Durham once. Tony Benn said, "We don't need the KGB. We have the BBC. It is a state-controlled apparatus." So anyway, yeah, they went to iSeries and interviewed people. And I talked to one guy, and the guy said, "Yeah, I told him. I said, oh, when I was younger, I used to have a problem. I would play games nonstop. But actually, I realized that I could control it, and I quickly got it under, you know, control," or something like that. And they just cut the second half of his quote off. And he was like saying to me, like, literally, I said the opposite of how they're representing me. So, fine, BBC News banging on video games again. Weird how they want to come back into the fold now. Hey, esports guys. Hey, gamers. Remember us, your friends? No, fuck you, you poisonous, lying scumbags. Fuck you. You don't get to come back in after demonizing us for 20 fucking years now that your fucking media system is failing and you need more money because you're paying Graham Norton $5 million a fucking week. Fuck you. Jane McGonigal on the good and bad of video game escapism. McGonigal cited studies showing that violent gameplay is okay and co-op violent gameplay can be great, but competitive violent gameplay, especially against strangers, raises aggression.
Almost like there's some sort of competitiveness when you play against other people in a competitive environment. Almost like other sports do that. It's almost like every sport ever raises aggression in the short term when you are competing. That is the point of competing.
I believe they call it competitive drive, Sam.
I think so.
Right. Curing the country of gun violence requires research into video games too. And this is the mad one. They are literally saying what Trump is saying. Like, unequivocally. 2013. Before this dystopian Armageddon we live in was a twink in someone's eye. Researching video games once more as part of this broader examination of a gun-sickened nation brings with it the chance to create a singular work of research that can be used to start healing the country. They completely advocate for what Trump is saying here. Inarguably, unequivocally, right there. How do you then get to come out and go, "Hey, fuck Trump, yeah, woo! We're the good guys." You've been saying what he's been saying for years. You don't fool me. I got a memory. I got eyes. What are you trying to do? This ain't chase the fucking lady. You know, the queen's into that one. Oh, you got me again, Polygon. Oh, you got me. Like, it's so fucking crazy that they got the nerve to do this. And then again, they cite another dubious, fucked up study talking about violent video games and aggressive behavior in the short term. Trust me, if the science that they wanted to prove existed, we'd never hear the motherfucking end of it. Yo, and here's the other thing. Polygon ain't the only one. There's a ton of this shit. The video games press have been doing this for years. I'll show you another example. Just, there's tons of these. Motherboard. That's Vice, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when Vice used to do news? Yeah, me too. Remember that. Remember when they created a vertical motherboard and they used to do cool and interesting stories? And it was just kind of like, it would be just prior to all of this gibberish. Yeah, me too. Well, you all know what they are now. Oh, yeah, God, it's an embarrassment. Yeah. So violent video games really are messing with your brain. 2011. Science links violent video games to cumulative aggression and dickishness in general. Oh my me, how scientific, motherboard. Do tell me more about this quality dickishness. Do tell me more. Do lecture me more about how I carry myself as a person. Please. Please. How video games unwittingly train the brain to justify killing. 2006. This is up there with the Daily Mail saying playing Call of Duty is an ISIS training simulator. But it's motherboard. It's meant to be for gamers. It's meant to be by gamers, for gamers. Yo, when you play a game, it's training you to justify killing. All right, motherboard. Yeah, you got us. We all killers up in here. You a killer?
Do you remember the generation before us that was brought up on like fucking Bruce Lee, straight kicking ass every day of the week, fucking Clint Eastwood shooting people in the back of the head, quickest shot in the south, in the west? Like, is this real? Do people really think this is how the human brain works? That if you see it happen, it just
Do you remember the generation of people that casually like had a bunch of fucking wars happen and actually went and straight killed people? Like, I ain't talking about your fucking Iraq and Afghanistan's. I'm talking about your World War II's. Do you remember that generation?
Yeah.
As I said, my granddad told me a story about how he killed a man with his bare hands and then took his personal effects as a mark of respect. I never saw him act violent again after the war. So if real killing don't make you violent, I don't think if my granddad had rocked up and played Call of Duty, it would have brought it back. And he would have got
back, send me in.
Yeah, and he would have got that fucking Luger out of the shoebox and started lighting motherfuckers up over dominoes. Come on. 2017, don't get excited about the new study saying video games don't make you violent, when a credible scientific study came out and said, actually, it's all good, it's all Gucci. They tried to debunk it, saying this journal has had to make some retractions in the past. Yeah, same as the studies that you cite as being sound. 2018, let's enjoy this wholesome moral panic about violent video games while it lasts. And there you have it. We've gone full fucking circle. 7 years. Now they're saying, yeah, it's a moral panic. It's a moral panic you helped perpetuate, you fucking morons. And I've told you, these moral panics, they are so absurd when you fucking look at them. I've given talks on this. I've given talks about Dungeons and Dragons and how that was going to turn us into Satanists to make us kill everyone. I've done talks about the video nasty and how if you watch Driller Killer, that was it. You were going to go out and murder a hobo that night. I've talked about the Hungerford shooting and how it was supposedly Rambo that turned a very sick individual into a cold clinical killer, one of our only mass shootings we've ever had in British history. They always blame the art. Do you know why they blame the art? Because if you don't blame the art, you got to blame the institutions. And guess who is fucking setting the agenda about what we blame? It's the institutions. It's the lawmakers. It's the politicians. It's the media. They're the ones going, yo, I don't know why all of this is happening. It definitely ain't us. Is it you? Is it us? Is it you? Is it us? No, 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 no. What happens outside of the institutions? Oh, what, like art and people who just want to live off the grid and be left alone and make personal choice and people who are for freedom of expression? Well, fuck, I guess we're going to have to blame them. I guess we're going to have to blame them, aren't we? Because we couldn't possibly say that a society that literally promotes the idea that it is okay to invade a foreign country and kill a bunch of motherfuckers because, you know, I want to build a pipeline there, that couldn't possibly be making our citizens sick. That couldn't possibly be the problem. Nah, it's these games. Imagine it. Imagine a fucking world where we say tacitly, through our foreign policy, it's okay to kill people to get the resources we crave, even if we have to manufacture reasons to go do it. Imagine that society then turn around and go in, yo, but you guys got a problem over there. Holy shit, imagine it. It's unbelievable that a bunch of old fucks are going to lecture me about what is morally right and morally wrong when they sign pieces of paper that consign millions of people to their deaths as if it was nothing. And they go home and they sleep like fucking babies at night. What did you do today? What did you do today? Ah, we just said there was some weapons of mass destruction over here in this country, and we're going to invade it, and we're never going to find them, and we're going to kill children and the most vulnerable people, and we're just going to do constant airstrikes and bombardments in that area, and we're going to deny them foreign aid, and we're going to take the fluoride and everything else out the water because they can't have it because they might make a bomb out of it, and it's literally going to be still killing people 20 years later. Night, darling, night. You're going to tell me about violent video games, are you? I don't know, man. Sorry, I've gone a bit mental on that one, haven't I?
I was just letting you go of it. Don't stop a firework when it's mid-flight.
Shit, I just got deported. Fuck. Mm. Yeah, I'm just tired of it. Honestly, I'm just tired of it. We live in a society where people just want to be left the fuck alone and express themselves and escape from the fucking realities that just hover over us. And we're not allowed to do it. And everything we do, we're getting demonized for. And we get demonized by demons. I think that's the thing that drives me nuts. We get demonized by the actual demons. And nobody does a fucking thing. And that's it, right? So, fine. So, anyway, I said it was going to get real. I didn't know how real it was going to get. Like, I might have to timestamp that. But I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired of it. It's always my generation. It's always my group. It's always my people, the gamers, you know, the people who just like, you know, the people who are for free speech, the people who want to just express themselves, want to enjoy art that maybe is a bit generationally divorced from the politicians and the lawmakers, want to watch cool movies, want to play cool games, want to read cool books. Why are you coming after all that shit trying to make out it's going to make society better when there is a fundamental rotten sickness right at the core of society? And it ain't us. It's never us. Half the time, it's, you know, I work in esports. Do you know how many like ex-servicemen and ex-military people I meet who've come back from these bullshit wars, all fucked up with PTSD? They use gaming to cathartically undo the damage done to them by a government who literally treated them like fucking pawns. That's UK, that's US, that's Western policy, that's Europe, that's all over the place. That's a universal truth. I know. I'll tell you now, we should bring Trash Talk back and we'll do a special where we have ex-military people who talk about the positive and therapeutic effects of video games in working on PTSD. There's studies about this. You can go see it. So you tell me what's sick, the people playing the video games or the fucking people sending those motherfuckers to wars that don't need to get fought? You're right. Fuck it. Move on. Anyway, so Trump, right? I'm back. We'll keep it light.
Trump's having a meeting. How about this meeting?
Yeah, so, well, no, I'm just saying, that literally was an aside. That literally was nothing to do with where I was going with. I'm sorry, I just fucking lost my mind. I'm just so fucking triggered by it all. I'm just so fucking sick of it. I'm just sick of the fucking sermonizing by people who ain't fit to be on the pulpit. I'm just tired of it. So, sorry, that was a bit real. That was, like, not funny. That was just me. Yeah, you have those little moments. I hope Bill Hicks would have been proud. God bless him. Can't all be funny. Anyway, Trump, right? he's come up with this new thing. For the government, right? They're going to cure all of our society's ills. They're going to cure us of the video game sickness, which is turning us into shooters, not all the other stuff. Not the other stuff in society. It's the games, all right? So he's going to cure us of the games. Thank you very much, Donald. That's going to be awesome. And then what else is he going to do? Well, interestingly enough, he is decided that abstinence needs to come back. Oh, yeah. Now, here's the problem. I don't know if y'all been following Donald Trump's life. Don't really associate him with abstinence. I don't really associate him with abstinence. In fact, isn't he in a court case right now because a porn actress is alleged that she had an affair with him and was then paid off to not say anything about it during the election cycle? So we'll get into the abstinence thing. I just want to show you a fucking amazing headline. I've talked about this before. When you're a journalist and you work in an actual real publication with a structure and everything, not like just, you know, online or video games or whatever, they have like the editor and they have something called a sub-editor, and generally how it works is the editor sets the agenda and the stories and tells you where to go and what to do, and we're going to cover this and we're going to cover that, and you make what they call pitches, which is where you throw up some ideas and they go, yep, do that, I need it by Tuesday, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it works. And then you got the sub-editor, and the sub-editor is generally the person that you submit your work to. They make corrections, tell you to make amendments, tell you whether it's fit for purpose, and generally will set the headline. You can suggest the headline. And we used to play a game, you know, where you had to slip a fucking funny double entendre past the sub-ed. That's the game. So you come up with, like, you know, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but you know what I mean? Think of like a play on words, a funny play on words, and you would try and get it in, you know, like, so. So anyway, I saw this headline in the BBC, and this sub-ed got fucking stitched up like a kipper. I thought it was fucking hilarious. Here, you can bring this up. I'll wait for people to react on screen so they can fucking, the cogs can turn by themselves. As if nobody picked up on this, like, you know, come on, yo. So the headline is Trump wins order to gag porn actress. Well, you know what, whatever you're into,
order's an order.
Whatever you're into, you know, is it a ball gag or whatever? But of course, they obviously mean a gag to keep Stormy Daniels quiet. But the sub-ed didn't pick up on that one, and certainly should have done. Anyways, Donald Trump, a man who, how many children does he have?
Who knows?
I'm gonna guess. Is it five?
Four. I don't know.
Let me just see. Donald Trump. I'm pretty sure he's got five kids. So this is a guy who has five kids. Children. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you got it right. He's got five kids. And aren't they by three different women? I want to say. So this is didn't he get caught on tape saying that he just likes to move on women whenever he can, beautiful women, and they'll just let you do anything if you're a celebrity? I do seem to remember something about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he would want to be the poster boy for abstinence. Like, I don't. Here's the thing. Even if none of that was true, and like lives are complicated and families are complicated, so fine, you know, like maybe it was all good reasons for that to be your particular trajectory. He's 71. He's lived a life. You know, he's incredibly wealthy. But right now, you are involved in a legal action that states quite explicitly that you had an affair with a porn actress while your wife was pregnant. And she was paid off to stay quiet about it, and apparently she can talk about it because he forgot to sign the NDA. This is legit.
What do you mean?
So he has decided now, with that case going on, with him trying to gag the porn, this is the time to talk about abstinence, is it? Really? This is the time? So it's making a comeback under Donald Trump. Now, let me tell you some things about abstinence and sex education. It doesn't work. It's never stopped anything. In the states where abstinence is pushed and actually funded by taxpayer money and all the little abstinence rings, ooh, I'm going to wait till I have sex. Don't. It's a fucking disappointment. Get in as much as you can. Get good at it and then enjoy yourself while you're old in that prime of life between 20 and your early 30s, because sex after that is lame and shit. And then by the time you're 60 and 70, you disgust your own self trying to do it. So whatever. But in all the states, they have the higher rate of teen pregnancies. Like, this is, again, this is, go look at it. It just doesn't work. It's not the answer. When has making something a taboo ever stopped people doing it?
Like, remember when did Prohibition, when everyone stopped drinking, mate?
Remember that?
Remember the war on drugs, when everyone stopped doing drugs?
Yep, remember that. I do remember that, yep. You know, yeah. So let's just tell everyone, yo, don't have sex till you get married. Don't have really. You fucking put this ring on and you don't do it. Why don't I want to do it? Well, you know, it's bad for you and that, is it? Well, why does anyone do it? Well, when you're in a loving relationship, it can be actually pretty good and it's a great feeling, but you should totally wait for that. That's like telling kids, you know, like the night before Christmas, no, you can't open one. Guess what they're going to do? They ain't never going to shut up about it till you let them open one. Or are they going to go and just open one anyway? It is what it is. But yeah, so you can see here, this is the report that they're having a big push on abstinence now. This administration has decided that it's going to put a $10 million, that's $10 million, dollary dues, into a research project looking at the impact of what they call sexual delay. Mate, sexual delay is me pinching the tip. It isn't this, please. Like, this is so backwards. This is so backwards, dude. Like, come on, man. $10 million, like, you're going to fucking dump that to tell us what we already know, that abstinence don't... Sure, I mean, in theory it works, right? Like, if you don't have sex, you can't get pregnant. Yeah, absolutely. That only happened once, right? I mean, that Jesus, dude. And then... You can't get STDs. Yeah, okay, good, right? You stumped us. You won, right? But the problem you got is people just don't do it. They just don't do it. You can spend all that money telling people how to live their lives, and then they're just going to go and do it. Yeah, and people are just going to do what the fuck they want anyway. And let me tell you, you pay me $10, and I'll tell you this shit. They've also increased the funding for abstinence programs. From 55 mil to 85 mil.
Fucking hell.
It's just regressive nonsense. It's just so stupid. I'm not saying Obama didn't do it. I mean, I think if I remember rightly, Obama did start the teen pregnancy prevention program, which, but they didn't exclusively fund abstinence programs. That's the difference. Obama looked at other things, other ways to lower teen pregnancies. Education, you know, imagine that, actual education. So hang on, you tell me what happens if I do it and how it can fuck my life up. Yes, absolutely. They show you a labor video. I remember when I had sex ed, watching that video where that baby's head come out. Yo, fuck that. Looking at that, you know, sad picture of the dad, you know, like aged fucking whatever. Hey, do you go out anymore and have fun? Nah, got a kid now. I'm fucked for 18 years. Sound. That was enough. I was like, you know what? Yep. I'll tap out on that one. Thanks. That was all it took for me to keep my fucking Johnson where Johnsons belong.
Johnsonville.
But yeah, so now this administration wants to redirect stuff that Obama was putting into education and put it pretty much exclusively into abstinence programs. I just can't be asked. Video games are bad. We'll stop teenage pregnancy with rings. Like, what fucking nonsense is this? All right, there you go. We did some serious stuff. Sorry, guys. Let's get back. Let's get back. Let's come back to the light. Oh, no, hang on. Because I got a kind of, it's kind of a dark story, but I guess with the right sense of humor. Russian roulette.
Gone wrong.
Yeah, but listen, right? Why are people playing Russian roulette, yo? I mean, like,
I think so, it's just a mad adrenaline rush. Same reason people climb buildings, I guess.
You know what isn't a mad adrenaline rush? A bullet to the head.
Nah, yeah. But apparently it's a mad DMT rush, as long as you don't shoot yourself straight through the brain. I've heard.
I think that's nonsense. I just saw this headline today, and it just made me fucking think. You gotta wonder about some people. This was in Westminster, Colorado, and this guy and a friend, two best friends, got fucked up on booze and fucked up on drugs. And they played a game of Russian roulette.
So it was like a wild night, to be fair.
And someone lost the game. And they're investigating the other guy for murder.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty hard story to sell. We were playing Russian roulette in my bedroom and he shot himself in the head. Yeah, yeah, you're going to be coming with us, mate. You're going to be coming with us.
No, but here's the thing. It says here on the headline, game of Russian roulette reportedly ends tragically. And then it says in the thing, in a game of Russian roulette gone wrong. I don't know what version of Russian roulette y'all are playing. That's it gone right.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. Like, it's click, 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 bang. At best. Sometimes, bang. The game went right. I mean, I can't believe I'm turning this into like a Doug stand-up routine. The game
went
right.
You don't go one for one back and forth. You spin it. That's why it's called roulette. You spin the, you got to have a revolver now because you spin the, what's it called? The fucking mag.
Yeah, the game goes right. Like, you put one bullet.
Yeah, but eventually the game's got to end.
The worst is, I hear stories about fucking people who do it with the fucking semi-autos. You've seen this shit. So they put a bullet in the magazine and they don't realize that it springs up to the top and they go bang. That's legit. That's a story. Like,
how do they not know there's a
spring in there? That happens all the time. That happens all the time. Now, that's a game of Russian roulette gone wrong.
Using the wrong device.
Yeah, that's a BG. That's a massive BG. But again,
with bungee jumping with a fucking regular rope. You know, you've got to bring the right equipment if you're going to play the game.
But a game with a fucking revolver in, and it's like there's a chance and a risk. That's it gone right.
At least you've got one in six. Like, come on.
The bigger question is, why would anyone ever play it? Like, this story's so mental. It said here that a game of Russian roulette was being played with a group of people. I mean, that's even more mad high stakes. Like,
mate, you know, imagine how important the role is for who goes first. I'd be fighting to the death over who goes first. Never mind playing the game.
Fucking right.
That'd be the most intense game of fucking rock, paper, scissors you'll ever see.
And, you know, and it's tragic. But again, it's like, who sits down to a game of Russian roulette thinking, well, this can only have a happy ending? Someone has to die for the game to
end.
Yeah, that's the end of the game. Did no one see the deer hunter? Nikki! Did no one watch that movie?
Did you see Darren Brown do it on TV, mate? Do you remember when he did that shit?
Yeah.
That was game-changing, mate.
You know, it's just crazy. This is just stupid. Just don't play Russian roulette. Like, legit, just don't. And everyone's saying, God, we're fucking sad. It's tragic. It says alcohol and drugs played a role. Yeah, they fucking must have.
Definitely did.
Has anyone ever soberly said, hey, I'm having a fucking great day today. What about you, Sam? Yeah, feeling pretty good. Russian roulette.
1 in 6 chance of death.
Rack them up, Rich. You know, like, come on. Lock and load. No one's ever fucking played it sober. That's so insane, dude. So anyway, that's another one down. Other bits we'll have to cut out. People will be watching a YouTube video going, this show's only 20 minutes long. What happened? Ah, well, Richard went mental and, you know, started railing against Western foreign policy. Then he made some jokes about Russian roulette and it's all over now. So something that did make me laugh. You ever heard of a guy called Dan Arrell? You ever heard of him?
No, I have.
So basically, Dan Arrell, he was like a journalist, and he was a normal person at one point. You know, he has his own podcast, Danthropology. Like, wordplay. It's so clever. Right. And he wrote some books. Which one did he do? I'll find it for you now. Which book did he write? Parenting Without God, How to Raise Moral, Ethical, and Intelligent Children Free from Religious Dogma. And he did a follow-up to that called Secular Activist, a How-to Manual for Protecting the Wall Between Church and State. And it, up until 2016, I'd say Dan Harrell was like well regarded. He wrote some interesting books, you know, talking about the nature of religion within society. And he was considered, you know, a pretty reasonable cat. But like a lot of motherfuckers, he just lost his goddamn mind. He lost his fucking goddamn mind, Sam. The election caved his fucking dome in, and he was just never the same. So, I'll show you. I'll give you an example of some of the tweets, that he put out there, like just to show you how wildly he would swing, sort of back and forth, and especially lately, his views were, you know, seemingly insane. So here's an image here, okay. And you'll see this tweet. He says, if violence is all you have to defend your beliefs, then you need to rethink what you believe in, because there is...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen these tweets. Now you mentioned it. I've seen these everywhere, man.
Yeah. And this was in 2013, before the election had driven him mentally ill, like it did to a lot of people. Then you will see the interesting juxtaposition. 2017... Dan Harrell certainly wasn't preaching the Gandhi-esque philosophy that violence solves nothing. In fact, when Mike Cernovich said it's never appropriate to lay hands on another person and your creepy serial killer looking friend is lucky I showed great restraint, this is after Mike Cernovich got attacked, Dan Harrell said he should have left your teeth on the ground. So we advocate for violence when it's people we don't like. But I said the modern Dan Harrell was a very different beast. But even in 2017... he seemed to be very wild and all over the place. For example, you'll see here, he said on this tweet, you'll notice he said, "Even when I strongly disagree with Sam Harris."
This is the banger, man. This is an absolute fucking banger, man. This, when I saw this, it blew my mind. I had to go and check it wasn't fake. It was so outrageously good.
Now, Sam Harris is, you know, like whatever you think about Sam Harris, you know, I used to have a lot of respect for Sam Harris. I used to think he was very logical and well balanced, but he showed himself to be a child, actually, an emotional child, whenever he talked about Trump, making great assertions that defied logic, actually, and. You know, that's fine. I guess we all have our Achilles heel, so to speak. But you can see here, he said, even when I strongly disagreed with Sam Harris on something, I could not imagine being dumb enough to compare his views.
Oh, it's so good, mate. It's poetically good.
I could not imagine being dumb enough to compare his views to Nazi Germany, which is fair. Obviously, Sam Harris, not a Nazi by any stretch. And his views aren't comparable to that of Nazi Germany. Now, if you look at this tweet that was made, you know, not that long afterwards, if you're curious which side Sam Harris is on, it's the Nazis. You won't see my shocked face here. So Dan Harrell, you know, he fluctuates a little bit, doesn't he? He's kind of all over the place. So I'll show you another one. I'll show you another one because he does this all the time. He does this all the time. You can see here his views on Julian Assange. In case you didn't know, he has publicly stated that Julian Assange is a Russian agent and a rapist. I don't know why he said those things. Neither are true. But anyway, you can see here he replied just recently before the banger you're about to see, saying... it baffles me why anyone takes Assange seriously. Most innocent people hide for 6 years. Totally normal. You're like, well, okay, I mean, that's really glossing over...
the fact that he was locked in an embassy.
Yeah, that's really glossing over the circumstances, isn't it? But then if you look at this tweet, well, some collected tweets here, he was a big advocate of Edward Snowden, who, of course, has been in hiding for... about 6 years. Sign it. Pardon Edward Snowden. Let's get this out here. Solidarity with Edward Snowden, a hero. Snowden is a national hero, not a threat. Your idiocy is a much larger threat to national security. But I thought people who went into hiding were
automatically guilty.
Yeah, they're automatically guilty. So anyway, He's another one of these guys. He likes to virtue signal a lot, show that he's a feminist ally, shows he has the right politics. Because obviously when you do this, when you publicly project that you have the right politics, it is a shield. It is a shield from criticism. It is a shield from people attacking you. You will always have a network that will protect you in the media, politically, until, of course, they decide it's your turn to get cannibalized. That's how it works. That is the extreme leftist clique. That's how it works. So just at random, and I don't know why, because it certainly wasn't topical by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe with the Oscars coming up and the Me Too movement, sure. He decided to just tweet out on... actually, it wasn't even a recent thing. He just repeated it recently. He said, I believe victims of rape. And this tweet sort of resurfaced. I think he retweeted it ahead of the Oscars, I think was the predication for this. So he just said, you know, I believe victims of rape. Now, listen, if someone comes to me privately and says they've been raped, yes, I certainly believe them, obviously. And I say, God, that's awful. You know, how can we get you some help? If you call the police, do you need an ambulance? If somebody comes to me privately and tells me about this heroin stuff, I'm going to listen. And I suppose to a certain extent, I'm going to believe, because it would be insanely pathological of me to not believe somebody telling me they've been the victim of a sexual assault or any crime. If you came to me and said, I've just been beaten up and you've got black eyes, I'm not going to assume you fell off your skateboard. On an individual one-to-one basis, it makes sense. Where it doesn't make sense is once the justice system gets involved. You simply cannot believe an allegation of a crime because you want it to be true. Our justice system would be in absolute fucking disarray if that was the case. If all accusations and allegations were held up as sacrosanct, we'd have a fucking massive societal problem on our hands. And we've demonstrated on this podcast, while it is a rare occurrence, there are instances of people's lives being ruined over malicious allegations of crimes, which includes rape. So when you say, I believe rape victims, if you're talking about, if somebody comes to me and tells me they've been raped, I will comfort them and help them and be a compassionate human being. Good for you. That's the right answer. That's how you should be. If you tell me every allegation that makes it into public, I will not critically assess it or analyze it, and I will declare the person who is being accused to be guilty. You're a fucking monster. You are a nightmare. You are society's problem. Imagine it. So anyway, for a little bit of banter, an account called Xia Zhu or Xiao Xu, I think maybe my pronunciation is pretty terrible, so I apologize for that, replied, if I were to say I got raped by Dan Harrell, he would believe me. And as a result of this, she then tweeted, I was raped by Dan Harrell, as a reply to him. And he was like, help me! Help! I'm being accused of rape! Yeah, sucks, doesn't it? When you've done nothing. Really sucks! But the problem was, because it's the fucking internet, all of his protestations, no, help! I'm being oppressed and attacked for saying something stupid! And by the way, I do got to say, even in this obviously clearly satirical manner, it's still not okay, really. I don't really like this. I don't think this should happen to anybody, even if it is deliciously funny and ironic. I'm certainly, you know, I don't think you should do this to people, even to make a point. But they, there was a hashtag. And fucking hell. Here's the hashtag. Hashtag Dan Harrell rape me. And people were literally responding to him with Twitter added in. Stop silencing us. We are your victims. Dan is shaming the victims. And on and on. And just look at all this. Maybe you shouldn't rape people, Dan. Like, it's mad how fucking intense this fucking went. You know, and he's like, listen, saying I believe rape victims ended with an I rape people hashtag. Are you going to do anything? And then people replied saying, stop using the hashtag. Dan.
You're spreading it.
Yeah, stop using the hashtag, Dan. Stop trying to shame your victims into silence. So, you know, after this, he decided that he needed to take a break from Twitter. he deactivated his account and went away. And he only just came back today. And he did a classic, you know, not bothered. Bothered, not bothered. he did a classic, I'm not bothered. Because they can't help themselves. They got a sickness, these like extreme, you know, progressives. They do have a sickness. The thing that makes them ill is social media. Social media makes them sick. Being constantly plugged into the information and the constant conflict and people being and their group telling them you're not good enough, you're not woke enough, get woker. Your entire life now must be reduced to virtue signaling. Nothing you do can focus on the individual. You must be making the world a better place, even if you have to denigrate yourself to do it, even if you have to abuse every little piece of power and privilege that you have. You must be an ally. You are nothing else. It's what's making them sick, and they're addicted to it, and they can't stay off it. And again, people who've been watching the podcast since the beginning of the podcast know we've been talking about this for years. Give it 5 years. We will talk about how mental illness spiked with the invention of social media, and there's a correlation. It's making people sick, and the best thing you can do is actually deactivate, go away, stay away from it. It makes you ill. Fact. I'm going to put fact at the end. I'm not a doctor.
Fact.
I'm not a doctor in many ways. I'm being a massive hypocrite because I'm criticizing people who demonize video games. At least there's science that contradicts them. There's no.
You can always find a healthy way to have social media in your life, of course. That is always an option, just to be normal and just to communicate with friends and just be all right.
I don't care. As with all things, Richard Lewis will be proven right in a few years. You'll all see. You are all diseased and you didn't know. Anyway, so he came back. He had to come back because people were laughing about him deleting the account, you see. And he couldn't let people... They're laughing at me! The Nazis are laughing at me! So he had to come back.
Is this picture real fucking life?
Yeah, well, of course it is.
Oh, mate, I ain't even going to show the tweet. I'm just going to show the picture. Like, that's all you need to know.
So here he is. He come back. Look at me sipping on a soy... soy frappuccino.
Look at that, mate.
Oh, it's
time for me to go to work with one of my designs, mate. You keep reading,
mate. This is like the why would an intellectual do this? This is literally like tweeting. You mad? Like it just isn't it? You mad? No, we're not mad. We didn't deactivate our account after fucking our virtue signaling backfired. We're fine, actually. We're laughing at you. So here he is now, like you know, and pulling his best eye punch Nazis face. And he said, sorry, trolls, I didn't delete my account. I deactivated it to take a break from insufferable assholes. Now I'm headed back to my break from the lowlives and enjoying time away from the screen. Like, this guy fucking wrecked himself so hard, dude. It's just so insane. So there you go. I'll let you play with Dan's face for a bit.
That's good work, man.
Yeah, you do your thing. Let me find, there was a couple of other stuff. Oh, shit, I forgot to segue into this. I suppose it's all right. We can still fit it in here because we've been talking about Twitter and how Twitter can backfire. You remember we laughed about that court case against Donald Trump and saying if he blocks people on Twitter, that you know, it's a freedom of speech violation.
Yeah.
Well, I still think it's not going to go anywhere. I think, you know, the right of someone to speak is not the right for you to be forced to listen. I think they're two very different things. I certainly, in my mind, can make the distinction. And I don't know why it would only apply to politicians and not other. You know, like why shouldn't it apply to journalists? And why shouldn't I be able to tweet at a journalist? You know, well, why shouldn't I be able to tweet at a celebrity? Why do we hold the standard for politicians only? But what's bizarre is a judge actually has sort of given me, ooh, like, ooh, I feel a bit nervous about how this is going to go, because it would be a travesty if Donald Trump was legally compelled to unblock these insufferable assholes who fucking set their alarm clock to literally wake them up when Donald Trump tweets so they can respond with some anti-Trump rhetoric, use the Twitter algorithm to be the first reply and gain followers and attention and traction from doing so. That's all they're doing it for. They don't. These people are not important. They're not producing any meaningful work. They just want to ride on Donald Trump's coattails, which is really sick. If you condemn the man, if you think he's all the things you're saying he is, how can you sleep at night using him to feather your own nest? Seems massively unethical to me. But whatever. But here it is. The judge said what Donald Trump should do is mute people rather than block them. And this was just a suggestion.
What's this? Like fucking tech help. Sometimes yeah. You will be able to mute the account instead of blocking them. Thanks, I know how Twitter works. I like to block the mentally ill people, thanks.
Yeah, so the judge said, you can see this report here, it was District Judge Naomi Rice Buchwald, suggested, I don't know why I went German there, suggested the president mute the accounts he does not want to see. Isn't the answer to this problem that he just mutes the person he finds personally offensive? She asked the court in New York. He can avoid hearing them by muting them. So they're now saying that a block might be unconstitutional, but a mute wouldn't be. And this is what's interesting, because apparently it's not the right to talk to Trump that they're bothered about. It literally is the right. Yeah, yeah, it's the right for everybody to see.
I mean, can you just sign out of Twitter? You can see his tweets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is basically what they're saying is we want the right to use Donald Trump to promote ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
While simultaneously criticizing.
I want to be publicly mentally ill, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't just do it in my private life.
So an attorney representing the Twitter users said the president had blocked people simply because they criticized him. I mean, that sounds like the idiots that call me a fucking racist, neo-Nazi. You just can't take criticism. You threatened to shoot me. Haha, you blocked me because I threatened you. Yeah, why do I have to listen to that? Haha, you just can't take criticism. I'm reasonable.
So
I'm
soft, there's no flakes, lol.
Yeah, wait. No, you're fucking mentally ill, and I don't have to listen to your nonsense. Weakling! It's like dealing with fucking Starscream out of Transformers. Like,
I was going to say, you sound like someone at the Labyrinth, but...
Yeah, well, they are the fucking gremlins, that's why. They're like little fucking... absolute fucking bedroom-ridden gremlins who are overly invested in this shit to the point where they have to have a villain in their lives. We must kill the bad guy. Who's the bad guy? Richard Lewis. Why is it him? He said things about video games. Ah, the Breitbart. 6 months of Breitbart. See, yeah, let's go
six
get him.
6 months of Breitbart tech writing about esports, yeah.
So, you know, they need that in their lives. I mean, it says how empty it is. But anyway. She said that they represented the viewpoint that discrimination in this nature, i.e. blocking them, violates the First Amendment, which guarantees free speech for all under the U.S. Constitution. And one of the users, Philip Cohen, said Mr. Trump blocked him after he responded to one of his tweets with a mocked-up image that labeled the president a corrupt, incompetent authoritarian. At first, I was kind of proud, like, oh, he cares about me. Remember, we've read you these fucking idiots before. Yeah. They go, they all brag about being blocked by Trump initially. Yay, blocked me! I've made it! And then they realize that nobody else gets to see their tweets because they were only relevant for applying to Trump. And then they go, it's like that fucking meme where it's the guy crying behind the mask, smiling.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not owned. Right? But then very quickly I realized that a lot fewer people were seeing my tweets. Yeah, congratulations, you fucking idiot. Well done. You played yourself. And my political efficacy, my ability to speak to my fellow citizens was impaired by that. It's not. Get your own followers. Get your own reach. Maybe achieve what Donald Trump has, and you will fucking have 50 million followers too. I believe that is called a meritocracy. You are a mediocre cunt. That's why no one cares what you have to say. But U.S. Department of Justice Attorney Michael Beyer said the president was free to decide who he interacted with. Yes.
Yes, he is.
The president has an associated interest in deciding who he's going to spend his time with in that setting. Lawyers on both sides, they would consider muting as a possible solution to the lawsuit. If there is a settlement that serves the interests of both parties, it is often considered the wiser way to go, said the judge.
Can you imagine? A little negotiate hearing. Trump would may be willing to mute said plaintiffs.
Yeah, I know. Shit,
what is this court case,
yeah, let's get a.
Why can't this be on Judge Judy, mate? Yeah, imagine the put on pay per view, Judge Judy.
Twitter
mate.
Court for real, mate. Twitter court for real.
Negotiating Twitter beef.
Unblock me, Trump. I would be willing to downgrade the block to a mute. Do you accept? My client finds this acceptable.
Only if you do a tweet praising me. And it must stay pinned for 6 months.
Exactly, yeah.
Like the mad negotiation. We'll do 3 weeks and you have to retweet one of my tweets.
You must retweet the first article that I write. Mr. Trump finds this acceptable. With certain conditions. You know, like, come on, man. Like there isn't other shit going on.
I'd pay $50 pay-per-view for that shit, 100%.
Oh, fuck yeah. Right, Sam, I'm going to drop this on you. I'm going to surprise. Have you got Tariq Nasheed lined up?
Bang a bang. It may be in yet. If it's not, I can slide him in. Let me slide him in.
Yeah, you slide him in. What I'll do is I'll entertain the stream by just sort of like...
And do a jig. See how quick I can find him.
Sorry, we're going to have to cut all this out. I do realize that sort of like when you're an immigrant, like railing against foreign policy is a bad call. So why would somebody come in? Here's something we can do while we're waiting. Why would somebody come into the chat and type suck my fat cock?
Banter, isn't it?
Is he still here? Yo, Cheng, what's up, dog? What's up? I mean, I'll talk to him. You get Tariq ready. Why do you want me to suck your cock, mate?
Why must I do this?
Is this a seduction technique, or are you upset with me for some reason? I'm interested. Where's he at? Come on, you got it. Why aren't you applying, dog? I just want to know what kind of, you know, whether you're. Whether I actually genuinely cause you sexual arousal, or are you just seriously mentally ill? I just want to know which one it is. Are we doing this? No, he's not going to reply.
Yeah, I can't fucking find it. Where is it? I got it.
I just don't understand it. Like, because here's the thing, you know, I'm not. You do understand that, you know, sucking cock is perfectly fine. Right, that it's better than fine. I go as far as to say it's good. I support the act of sucking cock. Long may it continue. So, I don't know what you're trying to imply here about it. You know. Well, all right, dude. I guess thanks for playing. Right. Okay. Anyway.
He
just went away. Yeah, you ready then? Okay, yeah. Well, so Tariq's been at it again, Sam, and you know what that means. It's time for Tariq Watch.
Mate, this one hasn't got music for some reason. All right, we're in. I'll put that in post, mate. It'll be sick.
Now, come on, let's do it with the music, mate. Let's do it with the music.
I don't know where it lives, mate.
What do you mean you don't know where it lives?
Because it's not in the answer.
I want my audience to hear Wash Your Ass, dude.
Oh, mate. I've got to have a deep dig into this shit.
Right. Sorry, mate. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, fuck. I'll just chill.
I'll just chill.
I'll just have a coog. I'll be over here, mate.
This is grim, but where does Tariq live?
How would you ever get rid of Tariq?
I got him. I fucking got it. There you go.
I mean, sure, I could have told you, but I thought the show wasn't planned, dude. I thought so.
Right.
Give me so.
Wait. Calm the fuck down.
All right.
Right.
So.
This wait. Fucking fool.
So.
Wait. Right. Wait.
Is this, dude?
Ready.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Sam, he's been at it again. Yes, it's time for Tariq Watch.
Wash your ass, you got to wash your ass, you got to wash your ass, wash your ass, you got to wash your ass, you got to wash your ass, wash it.
Right. Okay, good. Right, so that was seamless, mate.
Hang on, I'm going to change our file to where it's supposed to live right now. So this never happens again.
This must never
Oh, it won't even let me do it, fucking sound. Well, let me move it now, because I've got it open tonight, fuck's sake.
Let's just hope he just doesn't say anything for a bit then. But right, so anyway, I'm going to ask you a question, Sam. You ever heard of O.J. Simpson?
A little bit, like, have you heard some stories about him?
Yeah. Well, what stories would those be?
Something about gloves and bloods. Not the bloods, just blood.
Yeah.
And then he stole his own merchandise back. I remember that, his own memorabilia, rather.
Yep.
That's what he went to prison for.
Yep, and the judge made sure the sentence was as harsh as it could be because, because, you know, she know that after being found guilty in civil court of the murders he did, which he did.
Wrote a book, God, this is how I did it. You can't call it that, OJ. All right, this is how I would have done it.
that's better. He was like, if I'd done it. All right, OJ. Yeah, okay, mate. So here's the thing, he's in the news again, right? Because there was he did an interview in 2006, which had never aired. And I'll paste you this so you can bring it up so people can see. He did a long interview, and it was during the time I believe when he was promoting the book called "Yeah, I Straight Killed Them." No, it wasn't called. Sorry,
so fucking mental, isn't it, mate? Oh, my God, that still blows my mind to this day. That actually is a thing that exists after he got off one of the most, like, prolific cases in history.
Listen.
This is how I killed her. do you mean, mate? You should have just slipped away, but go live in fucking somewhere else. Go fly away. Go get citizenship somewhere and just live the movie.
You beat one of the most slam dunk convictions because of one police officer being an absolute disgusting racist. It was enough to sow such anger, rightly, among the jurors and the community at large, that what was a totally solid, obvious conviction was quashed. And you can crip walk out that fucking court, but then just don't ever say anything.
Yeah, exactly. Just go somewhere. Go live in Hawaii or something. Just go straight, like, witness protection program yourself.
You straight beat two murders in America. Like, just, you've done it now, mate. That is it. Just fucking chill. Smoke some fucking reefer. Never fucking stick your head up again.
Cuba or something. Just go settle down somewhere else. That's what you got to do at that point.
What you don't do is write your book. So, yo, I know I didn't do it, but if I did, gnarly, bro. What I would have done is I would have definitely tried to cut a bitch's head. That's actually what happened, OJ. Yeah, but, you know, just saying. If I did, which I didn't, remember, didn't do it, like, what are you doing, man? Like, who is letting him do this shit? Like, it's so fucking crazy. I mean, I'd have totally got the guy first as well, right? Fuck that motherfucker tapping my woman. Yo, OJ. OJ, dog. Remember, you didn't do it. Dog. Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't. But if I did, buy my book. It's the most fucking repellent shit of all time, right? Must be awful for the victims' families, you know, real talk. Seeing this motherfucker straight selling a book about the thing he didn't do, saying he did do it, but he didn't. So anyway, he did this interview in 2006 when he was like fucking promoting the book, you know. And he appeared, this is how fucked this guy is. He forgot, right? So he said that there's some guy in it called, he's trying to create a scenario where he's describing what happened without actually placing himself at the scene of the crime. He's talking about some guy called Charlie. And then just partway through, he just forgets and starts talking about himself being there and doing it. Like, it's just like he forgets the whole premise. So this is Fox News. It's like 3 minutes. This is what they're calling the lost confession. And again, to be clear, he didn't say, yo, I did it. What he did was he described what happened, but basically in the first person by accident. So, 3, 2, 1, this, Sam, when you're ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
He's innocent. Giving a bombshell, never aired interview in 2006, where he reveals his, quote, hypothetical account of what happened the night of June 12th, 1994.
I'm going to tell you a story you've never heard before. It concerns the murders of my ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her young friend, Ronald Goldman. Forget everything you think you know about that night, because I know the facts better than anyone. This is one story the whole world got wrong.
Oh, we know.
And the lost footage will be televised for the first time ever this Sunday.
On Fox, here to tell us more, the executive producer of O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession, Terrence Wrong. Terrence, good morning to you.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, so why did O.J. Simpson sit down with Judith Regan back in 2006?
Well, I think he wanted to participate in the
project. Hey, look at you.
And tell the story
you
from his
fat,
point of view.
Pudgy mess.
And the book
look
was
at
called
you, Full of Ben and Jerry's.
All hypothetical, supposedly.
And, well, every moment I think I know everything I could know about O.J. Simpson and this topic, something else comes out. So how at this moment are we just learning of tapes that existed then or conversations that reveal new wrinkles?
Good question.
Well, at the time in 2006, people knew that he had done an interview with the publisher Judith Regan in connection with the book, and the families protested, and the project was shelved. So we knew that it had been done, but the tapes were lost. And so they were, you know, somebody found them within the last year or so, and it was brought to the attention of the people who called me and said, would you come out and look at them?
Sure.
And see if this could be a special.
And did you have to get the permission from the family again? I mean, apparently they shut it down last time, so.
I don't think we had to, but we certainly felt it was the appropriate thing to do, and we do have the support of the Brown family and the Goldman family.
So I was, when you look, let's look at this clip, because this is very, I think one of the most interesting parts about it is, OJ gives this hypothetical scenario of what happens, and he's describing this person named Charlie, and at some point in the interview, he switches, and he forgets, and he says, I, instead of Charlie. Oh. Take a look.
In the book, the hypothetical is...
Charlie
came by and mentioned something about what was going on at her house. I don't know why you'd been by the Cole's house, but it told me you wouldn't believe what's going on over there. I remember thinking, well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
So what do we learn that we didn't know before?
There are a lot of little nuggets in here.
Just the laugh.
You know,
the
OJ gives us a picture of his emotional state.
So yeah, you can probably kill it here, actually. This guy then just speculates wildly, you know, like these pundits and talking heads do. But yeah, so listen, you've got to, like I just said earlier when talking about Dan Harrell, we've got to have faith in the justice system and believe, you know, justice is, you know, blind and jurors it's all good, right? Blah, blah, blah. And he beat the fucking case in court, and that's that. He had his day in court, and he got off with it. But I think we all know that, you know?
What? He did it.
Yeah. He did kill them people.
He's not even hiding it, mate. Look at him.
And he did. He was found guilty in civil court and had to pay damages, which he didn't pay because he didn't have the money, which is how he ended up trying to steal back that memorabilia. But he did it.
What? So once you beat the court in like federal court, whatever, it goes to civil court as well, just for money.
And I'm just saying. I think we all kind of know, and it's okay. Yeah, you know, maybe you think you didn't, but that's fine. He did it, didn't he? So most people accept that now. Like, there's been so much. It's like one of the landmark legal cases in the last however many fucking years. People who remember me talking about F. Lee Bailey, he was on that trial, absolute fucking legend. Got a book literally just over there by him. You know, this was a big Johnny Cochran. This is this is huge. This is like a landmark case. That ESPN documentary series, Made in America, is one of the best things I've ever seen. Any documentary, it's straight fucking fire. Dog, it's fucking wicked. Much better than that televised version with fucking Chandler from Friends. You feel me?
Yeah.
But like, it's So anyway, Tariq Nasheed doesn't seem to have got the memo that things don't look good for OJ. And when this confession stuff came out, Tariq went off big time. He seems to think, because obviously it's Tariq Nasheed, he seems to think actually that trying to imply that maybe OJ, you know, did it. Is actually a white supremacist conspiracy theory.
Come on, dog.
No, for real. So, I mean, again, you know, I came to the decision that I came to by sort of looking at all the evidence, looking how it went down in trial, and looking at, and the fact that he also got found guilty in a civil court. Okay, fine. I suppose Tariq Nasheed also has his own nuanced opinion and looked at it. Tariq Nasheed, what's interesting about the OJ case is they put a vicious Nazi, open white supremacist race soldier named Mark Furman, that was the racist police officer who's an absolute scumbag, on the case. And when his white supremacist views were pointed out, they played that playing the race card. # Did OJ confess? Yeah, he did. The book before this is, it's like he wants to get, he'll probably actually do a real confession before he dies. He's that much of a narcissist, wants to be at the center of attention. He'll want to get absolution. He'll confess.
Statute of limitations on double homicide must be pretty long.
He's been found guilty in civil court and innocent in, court. So
if he confessed, would he be arrested?
No. He can't be tried for it. So it's like double indemnity, they call it. Anyway. The mainstream media like to ignore the fact that an open white... Nobody ignored this. This is the reason the whole case collapsed. Everybody condemned Mark Furman. An open white supremacist, Mark Furman, who confessed on tape he wanted to burn all blacks and that he hated interracial relationships, had motive to plant evidence, did OJ confess. There was plenty of evidence, not just about the ridiculous charade with the gloves, by the way. I understand why the defense certainly tried to sow dissent about it. If you followed the case, perfectly, there was the perfect angle of attack for them.
Glove does not fit. You must acquit.
And if I remember rightly, I think it might have been F. Lee Bailey that came up with a line of questioning that fucked up the prosecution. Anyway, whatever. Just putting that out there. What else did Tariq Nasheed say? Keep in mind, he's arguing publicly that O.J. Simpson was innocent and the victim of a conspiracy. Remember, these same people who are talking that O.J. did it trash are the same people who believe Trayvon Martin deserved to be killed by Zimmerman. Because he was guilty to... No one. There is no... Like, on the Venn diagram, there is, no overlap whatsoever, Tariq. There's just none, is there? It's not even the same thing. Serial domestic abuser wife mysteriously dies, blood all over the place, no alibi, putting a gun to your head and running away in a car. Okay. Guy shot a guy because he looked suspicious. There's no overlap with his case. Like, it's gibberish. And what else? What else did he have to say? Because he didn't stop there. He was doing lots. He was certainly tweeting a lot about it.
Ron Goldman.
Yeah, here we are. Here's another one. There you go. You can see here, Ron Goldman had all types of defense wounds on his hand, showing he was fighting his attacker. But these photos taken days after the murder show that OJ didn't have any bruises on him. Not one. That's because he didn't do it. So it sort of begs the question. I mean, obviously, Detective Nasheed must then be able to explain why, of course, no one else was ever found. There's no one else that even has a motive. The DNA evidence, the hair. I mean, again, the DNA evidence would have been a slam dunk if they just handled it correctly and not like fucking morons. I am not saying the case against OJ was airtight. If it had been airtight, he'd be in jail now, serving time for those murders. That he kind of did. So Tariq Nasheed, soon to have his own version of CSI. Enhance!
Who are you? Wash your ass.
Wash your... Yeah, that'd be pretty good. I'd watch that. I'd actually tune in and watch that. Okay, so where shall we end? Let's put a little bit of light, fluffy spice on it, so we all get a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. We're at the end of the trip. It got heavy. It got weird. We had Tariq watch. We're coming back up now. We're back in the room. Let's do a couple of quick news hits. Meanwhile, in Russia, far be it from me to suggest that Russian attitudes towards things differ very greatly from the West. This one just looked a little bit fucking weird to me. This is a story that, indeed, Sam. A man found 54 human hands in the snow. Pairs. They're all paired up. Like in a bag. Just 54 hands, 27 pairs of human hands in a bag. And he reported it to Russian authorities. And Russian authorities said, that's just rubbish. It's just garbage. No crime could have possibly been committed here. And that was the end of the investigation. That was it.
Fucking hell.
Right, Sam, perhaps you can explain to me, because you're smart like that. Who are these motherfuckers without pairs of hands? You see, if it was medical waste...
They look pretty old as well, because they're like mummified or something.
Yeah. If this was medical waste, it wouldn't all be pairs, would it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Not everyone has both hands cut off.
Yes. Now, do you know who does have their hands cut off, Sam? Both hands.
People were murdered.
People who were murdered. Yes, that's right. What you do is you cut the body up into several parts. You smash.
Disposed of and harder to find out who it is.
I only know this from watching the movie.
Yeah, exactly. This is Godfather and like fucking Goodfellas shit.
And off go the hands, and the hands get thrown far away, preferably incinerated because they're small.
Throw the hands in New Jersey so they won't be able to identify.
And you get rid of the teeth, and you smash them in, and you grind the teeth down, and yeah. You know, is there a bag of heads somewhere? 27 heads in a bag. Like, I don't know why you put them all in the same place. And yeah, people in the chat are going, yeah, you're doing an OJ. If I'd chopped off her hands, what I would have done is. But like, how can you just be so quick as well? Like,
rubbish, nah.
Yeah. Officer, I just found 54 human hands here in a bag, frozen, and I've been laying them out, and they're all pairs. They pair up like they're the same dude. That's just throw it in the bin. That's just garbage, that is, mate.
What are you doing holding hands for? Fucking get rid of them.
Get
what
in them.
What are you calling me for?
Get them in a landfill, you creepy cunt. Like, come on, man. Yeah, just mad, isn't it? Russia, eh? It's a place. And then finally, just to end on this one, because I know you're like, you're owning the libs, Richard. I love it when you own the libs. But a study showed, this was published in The Guardian of all places. Apparently, it sort of proves something I kind of think we already instinctively knew. This is a study that was popularized in The Guardian, where apparently, if you hate body odor, you're more likely to have right-wing views.
So if you wash, you must be right-wing.
Oh, God.
Disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting!
It's weird. It's like the stereotype of the smelly hippie liberal.
Do you know what I take from that headline? If you're left-wing, you're more likely to smell.
And stink. Yeah, yeah,
is what exactly. The actual study is.
No. The actual study is left-wing people fucking reek. Mad, isn't it?
They've just done their own spin on it. This is Media 101.
So they did this study, right? And what they did is they put a bunch of offensive smells into the study, and after exposure to those smells, they then asked you your political leanings and questions designed to get into that. So the in this was urine, sweat, you know, the smell of fart, stuff like this. And they found a correlation that people who had a greater disgust of body odors were more likely to support Donald Trump.
So people who are left-wing are more likely to enjoy the smell of shit and
yeah. Now, what's interesting is I'm like you. I would just take it to be like, well, you know, maybe people that sort of value money and, you know, tax fiscal policies and reels over feels, for want of a better phrase.
Maybe usually means more spending. So probably have like expensive clothes.
Yeah, maybe those people are less likely to be engaged in what is, if we're honest about it, a very small, minute, very modest act of societal rebellion. Oh, Richard, you sociologist lefty, you, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. Obviously, like, we think about how much money we spend as consumers on stuff that stops us stinking.
Yeah.
Deodorant, toothpaste, mouthwash, shampoo, shower gel, you know, like the list goes on and on and on. Bubble bath, you know, we're mortally afraid. Think of the advertising. Do you have gingivitis?
Gingivitis.
Fuck, not bad breath.
Gingivitis.
Not bad breath. If I breathed on someone and they smelt it and it didn't smell particularly good, even though it was a very small interaction, they'll hate me forever. Bad breath. Oh my God, gotta smell it. So we actually, as a society, like smells a huge taboo. And therefore, I think it is fair from a sociological viewpoint to sort of say that people who reject the idea that, you know, hey, I don't need to shower every day. You know, I don't need to. I don't need to do that. It is a sort of very modest, moderate, low-level form of rebellion against society's rules. Or as Eric Andre says, society's lies! Now, I would arrive at the conclusion that people that sort of reject establishment and authoritarian and more right-wing leaning policies engage in those small, moderate acts of rebellion. No, that's not what they decided to conclude. They said that if you feel disgust based on smells, it underpins that you are more likely to discriminate against others. No, that's not the right conclusion, my little doctor friends. You have got it wrong. And then they said, we think authoritarian attitudes might at least in part be rooted in biology. It's not saying there's like a biological reason why you might feel more authoritarian, saying that because smells are linked to the a mental idea of disease and uncleanliness. People that are more likely to be authoritarian goes back to a primitive urge where you would be like, I want to avoid catching diseases, so I shun these people and push them out of the tribe.
Yeah.
I suppose from an anthropological standpoint, that's a potentially fascinating observation. They said, for some reason, they then went on to say, disgust is a very primitive emotion, and it's definitely rooted in biological survival, but it can still be altered. Nah, you're all right, mate. You just have a fucking wash. How about that, yeah? How about that? Let's alter it that way. You have a wash, and we'll all be good. We'll be Gucci. So it's interesting. And apparently, Jordan Peterson picked this story up and talked about it. So you can go and check that out. But yes, just at a time when you think all the stereotypes have been done, you get headlines like this. It's never over, Sam. But you know what is over? This episode of the podcast. Me and Sam are going to go away. We're going to think about which bits to cut out, which bits will protect my freedoms and statuses. Just how did Bill Hicks get into my body? I did go really fucking off the deep end. I don't even remember what I said. It's terrifying. It really was a deep trip. So we're going to end. Yes, Sam's back now. We'll do some more content over the course of the week. I might come back later and stream some wholesome hunting games and other things, but we'll certainly have to cut the best bits out of this podcast, no doubt. Or will we? We'll find out. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. Obviously, the people who subscribed and donate and all that. Thank you very much. If you're watching this on YouTube, help us get over the 100K. I've been banging my head against that brick wall for 2 years. And there you have it. Till the next episode of The Richard Lewis Show, I hope you're all well. Take care of yourselves. See you next time.